That brings me to the great promise that we have in this tonight. Because I see here not only doom and gloom, I wouldn't want to end there tonight, but I also see the great hope that a Christian has. And if you're a Christian tonight, you're depending on the Lord Jesus, and perhaps you can say that you're born again, then there is a great promise here. You shall see God, because the Lord has given you a new heart. Now, how shall we see God? Well, a born-again Christian sees God in the Scriptures. When we read this Bible, we see God. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today again we're preaching on Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, one of the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, laying out what it is to be blessed by a holy God. And he comes to this beatitude, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God. Now, before we get to that, I want to read to you the famous Psalm 51, where David cried to God for purity of heart after his terrible sin of adultery. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Well, we learn here of the terrible misery of sin. David lost the joy of fellowship with God, because except we are pure in heart, we will not enjoy God's fellowship. Sin separates man from God and puts a barrier between God and us. And so we need cleansing. And here we have in the Psalm 51, David's penitential prayer, his confession that he needed to be washed from sin. And it is that washing in the blood of Jesus by which we receive a pure heart. Yes, by faith we go to Calvary. We look to the man who died on that cross. We see the blood that he shed. We see the sacrifice that was offered to God. And we rejoice that there is cleansing, washing from all iniquity. And then we pray for a pure heart. And so today, in the ministry of the Lord's Word, we're coming to this beatitude where Jesus said, Blessed are the pure in spirit. Stay tuned now, then, as we go to our pulpit ministry to let the Bible speak on this text. In Persia, and we learn this from the story of Queen Esther, that the Persian king lived in isolation. No one could approach the king unless they were called for, and unless that sword was held out, that they were granted an audience with the king. If anyone would try to force that, they would be executed immediately. With great fear, people would approach the king. Now, as we would approach the living God, how can we stand in his presence if we do not have a pure heart? And our sin spells death in the presence of a holy God. And we know that heart trouble is the worst kind of trouble. I could have trouble with a leg that's bothering me. Maybe it's an injury, or maybe it's a bruise, or arthritis, or something else that might be bothering me in one of my limbs. And I could otherwise function quite well. Just give me a stick or something to hobble around, and I could deal with it. I could have an eye problem, a hearing problem. I could have all kinds of problems in the body. But the thing we cannot live with, and the thing that we cannot die with, is heart trouble. So you might be asking, what do you mean by heart trouble? What do people deal with whenever they're going through heart troubles? Well, conviction of sin because we have a conscience. This is one of the proofs that we are made in God's image and created by God, that every one of us has a conscience. And do you know what it means to blush from ear to ear? And someone, I don't know, calls you out, finds out something about you, and it's embarrassing or whatever, and you just blush from ear to ear, and it's written all over you, you're guilty. Conviction. And you can't run from it, you can't hide from it. Sometimes you try to sleep and you can't sleep. It's a disturber of your peace and your living night and day. And there are many, I'm sure, who are driven suicidal because of this conviction of heart. And it's so deep. And the Bible tells us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in the conviction department of our hearts, that's true. There is growing in your heart tonight troubles that stem away back from seeds that were sown even in childhood or in earlier years. Wrongs that have never been put right, and the fruit of that is still there doing awful damage. We know that Judas was so troubled in heart after he had betrayed the Lord that he took the money back, threw it on the table, and gave it to the scribes and the elders of the city, and said that he had betrayed the innocent blood, and he went out and hanged himself. He couldn't live with himself because of that. And we know that Cain, Abel's brother, he cried out after he had slain his brother, and he had said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Why? Because he was guilty. He had killed his brother, and he couldn't live with it. And today in our society, many people turn to drugs, to alcohol. There are guilty people who turn to anything that will divert them from the sorrows that they're living with. And we do not know the half of the sorrows that men live with. If we want an extreme example, we may think of that pilot who was flying that aircraft, German wings, into the Alps. What state of mind was he in? What was bothering him that he had to take that aircraft down in that awful manner that he was? And he had seen 5 specialist doctors, and yet the trouble of heart that he had gone through. And we know that all of this trouble, and I say this corporately, not just any particular thing, but all of it is the result of sin, of the fallen, sinful state of man's heart. Jeremiah got it right, that man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I might be talking about you tonight. Your heart is anything but pure. And this beatitude really puts the pressure on and puts the shining light upon the trouble of your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And of course, there's that rebellion of heart that many live with and that they play out. Such will never see God. The man who's rebellious in heart to God will never, ever see God because they're blinded to their sin. Now, men are blinded in many ways. And I came across a few very interesting illustrations on this. 150 years ago, the United States fought a civil war over slavery. Who was it that wanted to keep the slaves? The Southerners, who put slaves to work on all their plantations and various manufacturing and so on. They needed the slaves to do the work. Likewise in England, who was it that wanted slavery? Well, the shipping and manufacturing in Liverpool. They wanted slavery. Why? Because they needed slaves to produce the goods and get the work done and make the money for their factories and their businesses. So why were they interested? Because they were blinded. Blinded by the gain that it brought toward them. And when sin is preached, man who is in love with his sin cannot stand to be corrected. 9 times out of 10, the person who complains the most against liberation from sin is the very person that's steeped in it. Who is against the closure of places of vice and infamy and ungodliness? The people that practice it. And what does the rebellion of our hearts tell us? That we love our sin more than God. That's the conclusion. And if you recognize that tonight, you need a new heart. And if you're ever going to stand in God's presence and live with Him for all eternity, this scripture and the whole of the Bible tells us that you need a new heart. And so, what's the answer? Well, the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, that ruler of the Jews, he may have been a Pharisee, he came to Jesus, and the Lord said, except a man be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, he cannot see God or see the kingdom of God. He has no idea of it. He cannot comprehend it nor understand it. This is a work, a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, tonight we not only have the diagnosis of the human heart, we have the remedy. And the remedy is the gospel, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. Now that brings me to the great promise that we have in this tonight. Because I see here not only doom and gloom, I wouldn't want to end there tonight, but I also see the great hope that a Christian has. And if you're a Christian tonight, you're depending on the Lord Jesus, and perhaps you can say that you're born again, then there is a great promise here. You shall see God, because the Lord has given you a new heart. Now, how shall we see God? Well, a born-again Christian sees God in the Scriptures. When we read this Bible, we see God. We see His Word. We see the mind of God. We get into the character of God. And we have fellowship with God in His holy Word. And as we pore over these pages, and as we read the history of God's works in the world, we see God. It's His story. That's what history is. It's God's story of what He's doing in the world. And on this Resurrection Sunday, the greatest story is the empty tomb. He raised His Son from the grave that He might give eternal life to those that perish. And the Christian, the born-again person, will see God in prayer. You remember the psalmist's question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And when we pray, we have fellowship with God. We see God. Now, we don't see a physical being, but we know God. We experience Him. We understand Him, and we enter into His presence, and we come boldly. Indeed, we're invited to do so. In Hebrews 4, we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and help in our time of need. And we do not need to find some backdoor representative to find the heart of the King toward us. We come directly right into the presence of the King of Kings. What a great thing it is to be a Christian. Even Esther, the queen, could not approach the King without that sword of permission. But you and I can go to the throne room, the place of prayer, and we can have fellowship with the Lord and unite in prayer with Him. Now the carnal man, the man who's not pure in heart, he despises these means of grace. We talk about the Bible being the means of grace. That's a means of feeding my soul. And church and fellowship and baptism and communion, all of these are means of grace by which God ministers to us, and we enjoy communion and fellowship with God. But the carnal man, he does not see God. And he comes to church and he does the same things and he does the outward rigmarole and it's all external affairs, but he doesn't experience God. And so what does he want? Give me a mega church. Give me a church where there's activities. Give me a church where there's entertainment. Let me to a place where I will be ministered to in the flesh, not in the spirit. And then they call that God, the experience of the flesh. But God gently, graciously calls His people to worship Him. And when we use godly means, godly ordained means to worship Him, we come into His sanctuary, into His presence, and I trust tonight that you will go home saying, this evening I met with the Lord. I enjoyed God's presence, God's nearness in my heart, in my life. Also, the person who's pure in heart, who's born again and has a new heart, they will get more of God's light. There's a wonderful verse in the Proverbs, I think it's chapter 4, where it says that the path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And this is true for the Christian. As we go on in the Christian life, we see more of God. We grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and we experience more of God. That's His working within our heart. And then the last, well, it's not the last part of my sermon here, but the last part of this little line of thinking, we're going to see God in eternity for all eternity. We shall see God. We will see Him in Christ. Christ will have a bodily form in heaven, that body that rose up out of the tomb, that ascended on the Mount of Olives, went into the cloud, that body we will see. We will see Christ coming in the clouds. When we are brought into heaven, we will see the glory of God. God is a spirit, and we will see the manifestation of God all around us in His wonderful glory. And you may be asking, how are we going to enjoy that? How will we take all that in? Well, I read an article recently, and I was trying to research it and find it, but I couldn't. And I'm going to try and do my best to try and rehearse it. And it is the story of these twins that were in their mother's womb. And they were having a discussion. And they say, you know, we're soon going to be taken out of here. The due date is coming, and we're going to have to leave our mother's womb. And they were discussing, what's it going to be like when we get out of here? The umbilical cord will be cut, and we won't get our nourishment through that umbilical cord anymore. We're going to have to breathe fresh air. What's that going to be like? And they went on and on down the line of the discussion. What's it going to be like when we're taken out of the womb into the world where there'll be endless space? We will be moving in different directions. We won't be in fluid anymore. And one day we'll walk. Wow. How can that be? And if I remember the story well, one was a believer and the other was not a believer. And one in the womb was trying to convince the other, yes, this will be true. And the other, that can't be true. And sometimes that's the discussion of Christians here on earth. When we talk about heaven and we think about the wonders of glory, and it doesn't really all sink in. But we shall see God. Heaven is for the blessed. And we will be blessed indeed when we see God. And I assure you that heaven's going to be far beyond any of your expectations. Eye has not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Are you going to heaven tonight? Rejoice. Rejoice. And what a miracle that you should have a new heart. Now, the final part of this, and this is a must for me as a preacher. I would not sleep tonight if I did not preach this final part. And that is, how do we get a pure heart? How do we get a pure heart? We know that man is born sinful and he has a lot of heart problems and he needs a new heart. We know that those who have a new heart are promised heaven, they will see God. But still remains the question, how do we get a new heart? Well, let's go to the story of Nicodemus, John chapter 3 and verse 6. And there we learn from the Word of God the miracle of regeneration. The miracle of the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now notice there's a capital S in the first reference to spirit. That which is born of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. So who is it that gives us a new heart? It is the miracle of the third person of the Trinity. And regeneration is the direct work of the Spirit of God right into man's heart. There's no means in between. There's no mediation between man or anything. It is the direct, miraculous operation of the Spirit of God doing a miracle on the heart of man so that the heart is changed. The heart of stone is taken away. The heart that's cold, carnal, wicked, is now changed into a new heart, a heart that loves God, and a heart that desires God, And that is the wonderful miracle of the new birth. But I have to tell you something else, that while that is the instantaneous act of God the Holy Spirit, you can't do it yourself. You cannot change your own heart. You cannot affect your own heart any which way. You need the Lord to do that. That is the direct work of God the Holy Spirit. We are born not of flesh, nor of the will of man, nor of blood, and that means family, line, parentage, nor of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but of God. And you cannot be a Christian, you cannot have a pure new heart until you invite the Lord into your life. And the moment that you invite the Lord into your life, there is the miracle. You are changed, transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And by looking to the Lord Jesus by faith, the miracle happens. Now, I want to remind you of something. I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but I want to remind you of something. John chapter 3 is the chapter where you have Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's also the chapter where the Lord said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you remember how the Israelites were healed by looking to the brazen serpent. And then the Lord said, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the Lord Jesus on the cross. That all who look upon him will be saved. So how do you get a new heart? How do you be born again? By faith in the cross work, the death of the Lord Jesus. You do what Thomas did. You put your hands into the nail prints of Jesus. And you say, my Lord and my God. And you call on him to be your Savior. And that's how we have a new heart. Confess your sin, mourn over your sin, look to Jesus, the Lamb of God, and make him your only trust and your only hope for heaven. So what is the state of your heart tonight? What is the outward appearance? Well, we're told not to look on the outward appearance. God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And just as, and I come back to this point, as a city has all these infrastructure, underground, miles of piping, wiring, gas lines, water lines, sanitation lines, and fiber optics, getting back to the monkey story in India, all of these things that work in a city. Just think of the state of your heart. It is a picture of your heart that needs to be converted, and that's the work of God. And I leave you this final promise. As many as received him, to them gave he the power or authority to become the sons of God. That's a great gospel. That's a great salvation. And what a beatitude this is. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they, notice it, it's not maybe, it's not possibly, it's not any ratio of circumstances. It is shall see God. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. I'm glad tonight I've taken the step to trust the Lord. And whatever we may have to bear in this old world, one day we're going to see God. And then it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Are you saved tonight? Will you come and trust him? Give him your heart. And leave this church and this Easter Sunday with a new heart. That'll be a great miracle. That'll be a great change, a great new life for you. I bid you to come. Thank you again for joining us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gallagher. Well, we have certainly been cutting close to the heart today, but these things are true, and if they've troubled your heart, I advise you to put them right and take them to the Lord. And the point that not all men shall see God, this is something that has to come home to you. Do not presume that everyone will be in heaven. We cannot presume because, well, the Bible tells us that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. but broad is the road to destruction, and many go in thereat. So you cannot assume that all men are going to heaven. There are people going to be lost, and you need to make sure that you're not one of them. Now, the Pharisee we mentioned will not be in heaven because his whole religion is just a sham. It's a showpiece. He's putting on a performance, and in reality, his heart is not right with God. And the Lord said to the Pharisees, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of God, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, God says that to us today, too. We must cease from our own gimmickry and our own pretense and come to the cross to be saved. We must come as a sinner, broken over our sins, realizing the terror of the law brings us to the point where we are lost, condemned, and in need of salvation. And when we repent, praise God, there is the welcome, there is the invitation and the reception home to be received by grace. And if you come to Christ today, and I mean by that coming to Christ by just getting the Bible, maybe getting a verse like 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that if you take that verse, 1 John 1:9, pray over it and say, Lord, I'm coming. I am confessing my sins, and I'm asking for your forgiveness, and I'm praying for cleansing in the blood. That is what we mean by coming to Jesus as a sinner, praying, pleading for mercy and salvation. And yes, the Lord will receive you. Praise God. There is every invitation to all who will come, and none will be cast out. That's another great verse, John 6:37. All they that come to me, I will in no wise or for no reason cast out. And so come and believe. Do not remain in your misery. Do not remain guilty. Do not remain condemned. But come and believe the gospel and be gloriously saved. And again, if I can be of personal help, I look forward to being of help to you. Thank you for listening to our message today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.